I'll let you figure out which one I'm talking about. That's as far as I was going. I was going to leave it there. I thought about it, but I decided I'd leave it there. It's amazing. I had a major electronic problem. My microphone wasn't working. I kept waving at Tommy. He's telling me to fix my battery. And lo and behold, my microphone fell off and was down on my shirt somewhere. So I guess it's a good thing my stomach didn't growl. So that's all right. More electronic problems. Button. Who's got the button? I got the button. Oh, man, what a day. All right, every Bible's a Solomon this morning. You know, most of y'all, we've discussed this before. I'm not I believe the fancy word is botanist. I don't know much about stuff that grows. I know I've got a yard full of dandelions and wild onions. And some purple stuff. Somebody told me the name of it was henbit. And I invited all my vegetarian friends yesterday to come over and make themselves a dandelion salad, complete with wild onions garnished with purple stuff. So, I don't know much about flowers and things. Dandelions are about the extent of it. I'm not much of a, I know pretty ones when I see them, but I don't know much about them. But one thing I do remember growing up, that next to in the yard out beside our house, we had a rose bush, and I know it was pretty, and I know that if you ran into it with a bicycle, it hurt. That's kind of my flower knowledge. I don't know a lot about them. I think it was probably just a rose bush. There wasn't anything spectacular about it. I remember over across the street, my grandma's circle drive down one side of it. She had three or four rose bushes planted there, but again, I think they were just roses. I don't think they're anything special. They never got, if they got watered, God watered them, I think. That was about the extent of it. They didn't get, any plant food. They didn't get special treatment. They just were there. I mean, that was about the extent of it. And that's all I knew for roses until the second grade, probably maybe a little later in the year, firstly, I'm not even sure when roses bloom, so that kind of gives you the idea. Whenever roses bloom, when the roses bloom, spring or fall, when will they be on the spring? Okay, it will still be on, anyway, in the second grade. So somewhere, 71, 72, I remember, I can take you to the house. I'm sure the flowers are not there anymore because I'm sure the couple has passed away. It was an older couple standing looking at Jackson Park Elementary School. The old park is not even there anymore. Over on the left-hand corner of Jackson and Roof, maybe, I think, there was a house there. And I remember, I tell you about my class. In the fifth grade, and can act with students, I don't know if they still do it or not. Back then in the fifth grade, took all the classes to the Biltmore House. I've never been to the Biltmore House, even though I was in the sixth grade. But I remember it several times. I remember my sixth grade teacher saying, y'all are about to tear up a 100-year-old school building, and I'm sure not taking you to the Biltmore House. So, in the second grade, we took a big field trip. We went across the street. I had no idea really what we were going for, where we were going. And I don't remember these folks' names, but we went over, again, it's just a plain house. I could take you to the house today. It still sits there, nice looking house, but you really couldn't see anything special about it until you went around back and went inside their fence. And inside the fence, this man and woman, this couple, they just devoted themselves to the growth of their roses. I mean, they had just the most beautiful rose bushes that were they were ever made. I mean, they just were beautiful as far as, a second grade kid had ever seen again. All I'd ever seen was those, I guess, just wild rose bushes that came up in our yard. And if you know my mother, they didn't get much care. They didn't get much TLC. They survived because they were tough. Prison. I grew up in a family that could kill plastic plants, okay? That's all I knew for rose bushes. Well, those are wild rose bushes that grew up in the yard. They were up for what we use them. Who might know what we use those wild rose bushes for? Once a year. what was that? They worked for that. That's what they were good for. We'd go out and clip us one off of there. They worked for that. But these folks, they had roses that had names. And they walked us around and they told us about the roses and how they got the name. And, they'd say, okay, here's this rose and here's this rose. Now, this rose, it's a cross of these two roses. And, it was amazing. All I'd ever seen in my life were those wild rose bushes in my yard and my grandma's yard. And what that sticks in my mind to this day is I remember there was one and that was called the Abraham Lincoln. And that rose, to this day, stands out in my mind. I can see it just as vivid as I am standing here. It was a great big, gigantic rose. It was just a deep, deep rose. Looked like red velvet. I mean, it was just an amazing rose. It was just beautiful. But they had red and yellow and white and mixtures of the colors and everything. I mean, they were just amazing. And I remember that. I can see that backyard just as clearly as I can see you today. And that's I was in the second grade, so that was 10, 12 years ago. I can still see that vividly. And as I think about, that's kind of my extent of my knowledge about roses. But there is a verse in the Bible that we have kind of appropriated over the years out of Solomon. I'm going to let you know about Solomon. And Solomon, I'm going to tell you two things this morning that you don't hear from preachers very often. Turn to the book of Solomon, which you very seldom hear. And the second one is, I've got a short message. The one about Solomon is true for sure. The one about the short message, we'll see. But those are two things you don't hear from preachers very often. We don't look at Solomon very often. Some folks are scared of it. I mean, Solomon can, it can worry folks. Some of you who knew what Solomon says, what's written in the book of Solomon. When I said turn to the book of Solomon this morning, you got a little nervous right off. I mean, there's some stuff in Solomon that, the richest seem not there. Some have tried to make it symbolic, and it talks about the church and the bride and all this. Listen, I believe Solomon is just what it purports itself to be. It's a love story. That's what it is. It is the love letters between Solomon and the Shulamite woman. That's what it is. You can try to clean it up whatever you want, but it is what it is. I mean, it is a love story, plain and simple. But there's one phrase in here where the Shulamite woman speaks to Solomon, and she says, I am the Rose of Sharon. Over the years, we have taken that and used that name to speak of Christ. We call him the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. But that's where this phrase comes from, is out of the book of Solomon. So as I thought about that, what exactly is that? That's kind of an unusual name, if you think about it, to call someone a rose, especially a man. But we use that term to describe Jesus Christ as the Rose of Sharon. So this morning, I want to stop and look at that phrase. What does it mean to say the Rose of Sharon? Again, my flower knowledge is fairly limited. I'll just be honest with you. This set of flowers here on the table, there's one flower in that bouquet I can pick out. That's the rose. The other ones, I have no clue. I don't have any idea what they are. None whatsoever. You put a gun to my head, and I couldn't tell you. I just don't know much about them. But roses, most of us are a little bit more familiar with. You could probably walk in to a room of preschoolers and hold up a rose, and they would know what it is. I mean, rose is just a flower that we know something about. So what are some things, some distinctions about the rose as how, as you think about that rose, as how it applies to Jesus Christ? And there's three things really simple that I want to talk to you about this morning. One of them is simply put, the bride. The very nature of a rose. It's interesting to me, the names that Jesus used. What books written on the names of Christ? There are all kinds of names that Christ uses. I want to tell you something about the lamb. We know about lambs. Lambs are useful. You can take, shave the lamb, make a sweater, make clothes out of the wool. You can make steaks out of the lamb. You can make a rack of lamb. You can do a lot of things with a lamb. They serve a purpose. You can turn loose in the yard and mow the yard. They'll eat the dandelions. You can do something with a lamb. There are a lot of names. Son of Man, Son of God, Messiah, Savior. A lot of names of Jesus. All kinds of names. And all of them are pretty much, I think, straightforward. They all kind of represent some of these examples. A couple of verses here on the screen. One of them says, Jesus, I am the bread of life. That's one that we know. And when you think about the bread of life, most of us can identify with that, the bread of life. Bread is it's a staple pretty much of every diet, every culture that exists. No matter where you go, bread is a staple. I don't know about you, but I go into some of these restaurants now. You know, a lot of restaurants now, they kind of pride themselves on their bread. They come in and, they bring a basket of hot bread to the table. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel like just ordering a glass of water, eating the free bread, and saying, thank you, I'm dead now. You know, I could make a meal off the bread. I know folks who, if they sit down at the table and there's no meat, that's okay. But there might be some bread at the table. I mean, bread is just a staple. I remember now it's probably been close to 20 years ago when the government came out, if you look on a bread bag, any kind of bread wrapper, there's that food pyramid on there. And one of the things that this new, used to be the four food groups, they came out with the food pyramid right on the bottom, the base of the pyramid. They said you need, I think it's like 12 servings of bread every day. It's the base of a healthy diet. I remember when that came out, when the bread companies were out in the parking lots doing backflips. We were just thrilled to death with it. I mean, we spent piles of money redesigning our bags because we had to get that bread, that bread pyramid, food pyramid out there in front of people. We wanted to know they needed 8 to 12 servings of bread. Now, we wanted that out there because bread is a staple. It's useful. You know, most people, those few meals you sit down, that didn't have bread. I remember even in China, we would go in. And every morning we'd go in to the dining room in the hotel, and they would be serving breakfast, and there were a lot of things there I didn't recognize. Yeah, there were a lot of things there I didn't try. Yeah, I never did work up the nerve to try congee. I don't know what you call that stuff. I call it gruel. I don't know what exactly it looked like. Rice stew. Like they sucked the juice off rice and kept the rice and poured the ricey water. And it made me thicken a little bit. I didn't have, but one thing, everywhere we went, regardless, and China is so big that everywhere you go, the diet is different. That you can raise different things because it's so large. The climate's different. But anywhere we went, they had bread. They had some form of bread. They had bread. I remember one place we were at in that hotel. They probably had more kinds of bread than they did anything. I mean, they had sweet bread, rolls, you name it. There was bread everywhere. You still go into a culture to get that bread. Think about it. You go into very few meals, very few restaurants you go into, and one of the first things they bring you is bread. I mean, that's just, it might be toast, it might be rolls. Some of them bring you a great big rolls. I mean, all kinds of bread. I remember being down at Virtual Revival for Renee's sister, you know him more. Renee's brother. And one of the things I noticed about their restaurants when I went again, some of them serve toast. They have their little toast. Actually told me that they have restaurants where people come in and make biscuits, but not to serve biscuits, because the next morning they use those biscuits and they slice them open, they butter them and they put them on the grill, and they grill the biscuits, and that's what they serve in place of toast. But there is bread on the table. Bread is just foundational to our diet. I mean, there are very few meals that we sit down at that don't have some form of bread involved in that meal. Jesus says, I am part of the bread of life, but he says, I'm coming in, I'll give you living water. Over and over again, he talks about how he is water. Again, we all know that, you can go a long way without bread when you can't have water. Some of you may not think so, but you can. Well, we have documented cases in the Bible of people going 40 days without food. If I go 40 without water, you won't make it, by the way, just in case you're wondering. We water is, we are just, we are hooked on water. If you look at the spread of civilization, it's spread based on its access to water. As people would spread out, they would look for a source of water. Look how many times in the Bible you see them settling by a well. They settled by water. They settled by streams. They looked for water. And over the years, as technology came along where they could pump water, they would spread the water out, and they would go to wherever the water was. That's where they would settle. I think about, that's been years ago now. I remember my grandma and grandpa, the couple in their church had a trailer down at the beach. Well, we would go down there, and some of you are old enough to remember, they've done a lot better down there, but you remember a time down at Myrtle Beach, you go to the spigot and turn on the water and get you a drink of water out of the spigot, and you may as well went to the ocean and just dipped your eye cup. I mean, that's about what it tasted like. Yeah, it's a lot better now. I mean, it's still not great, but you know, it's improved dramatically. And so like a lot of folks would already get, you know, the bottled water now and drink bottled water. And I remember being down there one year, and I remember this, something didn't feel right. You know, I just could tell something was missing. And as though something clicked in my head, you need a drink of water. And I went over to a spigot. I still remember that came up on the end there. And went over to a spigot, and it wasn't great. But I was almost like, you ever seen these little kids doing that? Now, they're really tiny, they'd be wash rags, and they're filled up really, really small, packed really tight, and you get them wet, and you know, that's kind of the way I felt as I watered. It was like they're just bad in it, and it just, the water, the mineral, whatever, they're just filling me up, and I could feel it just going where it needed to go. You know, and it's just, water is so basic to who we are. You know, there's just something in us that in our mind, every so often something clicks in our head, I need something to drink. You know, I mean, it's just fundamental. It's part of good health. You don't drink enough, you get sick. I mean, that's just part of that. Water, bread, the staples of life. You said, Jimmy, I thought we were talking about a rose. I'm getting there. Hold on. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. It's from the lamb. And then he says, I'm a rose of sharing. And I thought about that. You know, I can't honestly think of one useful purpose for a rose. You know, there really is no real, you know, listen, if water disappears today, we got a problem. If bread goes away today, we need some grain, some wheat, and a diet. If roses disappear, it maybe just means some men will spend longer in the doghouse. I mean, that is, you know, that's, you know, it really won't change a great deal if roses disappear. Some flies may be disappointed. You know, we may have to start, you know, me and we may have to start going out in the yard and picking a dozen dandelions instead of only a dozen roses. You know, but honestly, life won't end if roses disappear today. But you know what? It'll be a lot less pretty place. Jesus, as he says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the water, living water. Those are things that are useful that we can't do without. But then he says, I am the rose of Sharon. As I thought about that, you know what Jesus is saying to us in those names? He says, I'm useful. You can't do without me. I am the bread. I am the water. But I want you to know this. I'm here just to make life prettier. That's all a rose does. Yeah, I'm sure there might be somebody out there grinding it up and eating them. I'm sure there's somebody, but listen, honestly, a rose's purpose, you know, you can put a rose most anywhere. Yeah, if you ever noticed, let's talk about that. I don't know if they're like that. You take the ugliest man you know. Have you volunteers? Yeah, you take the ugliest man you know. I got people pointing back here. You know, you take the ugliest man you know and you pin a pretty rose on his lapel, he just looks better. If nothing else, it'll drive your attention away from his face. You know, it just helps. Roses just lighten up the place. I was standing there, and even though this is artificial, I was standing there and looking. And those roses, even artificial, they just kind of stand out from the crowd. You know, that they just make things prettier. You know, that's pretty much what a rose does. And that's, I honestly can't think of another use for them. You know, they just make things prettier. Listen, you understand that Jesus is not just a get-out-of-hell-free card. That Jesus is not just fire insurance. God says, he says, I am the rose of Sharon. Jesus is saying to you, you know what he says? He says, I want to make you alive. You need to have life and life abundantly. I want you to have a peace that passes all understanding. I don't want you just to have bread and water. I want you to have roses. I want you to have pretty. I want you to enjoy this life. Now listen, one of the things Christians need to learn is there's nothing wrong with smiling. There's nothing wrong with being happy. You know, roses, God says, he says, I am the rose of Sharon. I just want to make things brighter. I think about that old song. I think it was Debbie Boone. I don't remember now. Back probably all the way back to the 70s. The same thing. You decorate my life. Listen, that's what Jesus is saying. He says, I just want to decorate your life. I just want you to get up every day knowing that I'm on your side. I just want you to get up every day knowing that I walk with you. Get up every day knowing that if you've got a problem, we can talk about it. I want to be the rose in your life. I am the rose of Sharon. What a wonderful name. Listen, we all need bread. We all need water. Those things are useful and necessary. But Jesus says above useful and necessary. I just want to decorate your life. I just want to make your life better. I want to make your life worth living. The delight. Listen, it's great that he's the bread. It's great that he's the water. It's great that he's the lamb. It's great that he's the Messiah. It's great that he's the Savior. But more, but not more important, but equally as important is the fact that he says, I want to be the rose in your life. I want to make life pretty. I want to make life enjoyable. I want to make life fun. I want to make your life happy. Life abundantly. He says, I want to be the delight. I am the delight. The rose of Sharon is a delight. Second thing I notice about a rose is its distinction. Rose just stands out in the crowd. Again, I was looking at that bouquet there, that whatever you call that, that thing of flowers. I'm real flower oriented, folks. This much I know. I was standing there, and if I was, I guarantee you could line up people one by one, just one by one. You see, they say roses, roses. That's what they say, roses. Yeah, I think it's the time of year. If you've never been, I'd encourage you to go. It's a beautiful place. Go downtown to Memorial Gardens. You know, where they've got all those flowers. They got that one spot down at the very bottom. And it's just this great big thing just full of tulips. And you know what? I bet you could go out right in the middle of that thing of tulips and plant a big old rose. And it'd stand out like a sore thumb. People would say, what's that rose doing out in the middle of all those tulips? Rose is just, they're distinct. There's nothing to compare. Yeah, but listen, there are men sitting in this building today that wouldn't know a tulip if we took them and hit them in the hood with it. Yeah, you just wouldn't. Yeah, honestly, you know, sit there and act all, you know, vegetarian, whatever. You wouldn't know, you don't know a tulip from a turnip. Let's be honest. Yeah, you just don't. Yeah, you don't know the difference. Yeah, you just don't. But you put up a rose, and it stands out in the crowd. Jesus says, I am the rose of Sharon. I am distinct. There is none other like me. There is nothing to compare. The rose has been called the queen of all flowers. But there is not another flower to compare again. That's why, listen, man, you get in trouble. That's why you don't send carnations. Yeah. That's why you don't send dandelions. Yeah, that's why you see roses. Yeah, because they just stand out. Listen, you go out and you walk into a place, of business, and there's a lady sitting there, and she's got a bouquet of flowers on the table, on the desk. You say, somebody likes you. Yeah, you walk in and there's a little ring of roses sitting there. Somebody loves you. There's a difference. There is a difference between the rose and every other flower. Just listen, it's just fact. It just is. It may not be your favorite flower, but listen, face reality. The rose just stands out from the crowd. There is nothing else to compare. Jesus says, I am the rose of Sharon. There's other flowers in the garden, but nothing compares. Listen, there are a lot of folks out there trying to pretend to be God, offering everything. But Jesus says, I am the way. Be there. Not everywhere, not one of the ways, I'm it. I am the speak. There is nothing to compare it. There is nothing else. I love that song. I can't think of the words to it now. The basically just says that there is nothing else like Jesus. Listen, he is the rose of Sharon. I am the way. He is distinct. Nothing like Jesus Christ. Yeah, you can try all kinds of things. Some of you, this morning you're sitting here, you're trying to get to heaven. You say, that's my prayer. I believe this, I'm all. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to go to heaven. But there are a lot of people out there trying to get there a lot of ways. But there's only one rose. There's only one way. He says, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the way, the truth, the life. I'm it. There is no other way. I am distinct. I stand out from the crowd. I look and I read about other religions. I think about other religions. I look at all the religions that have come and gone. I look at all those that have popped up and said, they're God. I've looked at those that have come and said, they are the Messiah. And they're gone. One of my favorite sayings, our sign's not big enough to hold the whole thing. Nitschke said years ago, said, God is dead. Nitschke. Somebody come along under that and wrote, Nitschke's dead. God. Listen, he is distinct. There is no other. That it is the rose of Sharon. It is therefore on the right. He is therefore, he has a distinct rose in the garden. But then here's one last thing I want to point out to you about a rose. I want to point out to you the design of a rose. You know one thing I know about a rose? One end's pretty. One end's painful. One end's beautiful. One end bites. Roses are made that way. One end is indescribable beauty. Think about it. How would you describe a rose to someone? But on the other end is the thorn. Jesus says, I'm here for your delight. I am the rose of Sharon. I am distinct. There's none like me. But then notice what he says. No man comes to the Father but by me. Here's reality, folks. You're going to face the rose of Sharon as the flower in your life or the thorn in your eternity. You're going to face Jesus as a flower, the rose of Sharon, or you're going to face him as a thorn. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know the rose of Sharon. But if you stay off into eternity without Jesus Christ, you're going to face him as a thorn because you're going to stand before him one day and they're going to look through the lens window. You're not going to be there. And they're going to say, depart, for I never knew you. And you're going to find the thorn at the other end of the rose. You're going to find the thorn. Listen, Jesus is beautiful. Jesus is lovely, altogether lovely, the song says. Here's what you need to know. This mind saith, this idea in this world that says everybody gets to heaven doesn't make good sense. Doesn't add up. Doesn't match what God says in His Word. Because He says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Doesn't want to see any condemned. But He also says that there is no way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. You'll know Him as the rose, or you'll know Him as the thorn. One of the two. One of the two. Not both. One of the two. He will either be the rose, the most beautiful thing you've ever met, or one day He will be the thorn as you spend an eternity separated from God. I want to ask you to bow your head this morning. You're here today and you say, I am a Christian. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've been saved. No question. I know the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bread of life, the living water, the Lamb of God. I know Him personally. I just want to come this morning. I want to thank Him for making life worth living. I want to thank Him for not just being the bread of life, not just being the living water, but I want to thank Him for being the rose of Sharon in my life, for making life beautiful, for making life worth living, for giving me a family, giving me a home, giving me a good church family, giving me a place to worship, giving me a job, giving me safety, giving me peace. I just want to thank Him for being the rose of Sharon. You need to come and kneel and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. But you're here today and you don't know Christ. You've never asked Him into your heart. You're going to face Him one day as the thorn. You've never asked Him into your life. You don't have a personal relationship with Him. One day you're going to stand before God and hear Him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You don't know Him as the rose of Sharon. You need to come this morning. Let me show you from God's Word how you can. Don't leave here today lost.